So just how responsible is the Coalition's $2.5 billion a year promise to cut company taxes at a time when the Reserve Bank of Australia has now cut interest rates to their lowest level in half a century? Well, Labor is describing yesterday's RBA board decision as a gift to struggling households and the government in the middle of an election campaign. The Coalition says it's more evidence of Labor's mismanagement of the economy. So is the Australian economy in dire straits? Is the budget in crisis? And is Australia's AAA credit rating under threat? Joining us now to debate the state of the economy are two of Australia's leading economists. Stephen Kokoulis is the Managing Director of the firm Market Economics. He's been chief economist for two global banks and was the senior economic advisor to former Prime Minister Julia Gillard for a year after the last election, having moved there from a senior role in the Commonwealth Treasury. Henry Ergas is a professor of infrastructure economics and senior economic advisor at Deloitte Access Economics. He was an economist at the OECD in Paris, and on returning to Australia in the mid-1990s, he chaired several Howard government inquiries on regulatory and competition issues, and more recently advised the Coalition on tax reform. Thanks to you both for joining us this lunchtime.
Thank you.
I'll start with a big picture question to both of you. The Reserve Bank Board has now cut the cash rate to its lowest level in half a century, below what Kevin Rudd described when he was last Prime Minister as an emergency level. First to you, Stephen Kokoulis, is Australia's economy now in a state of emergency?
Oh, no, it's nowhere near it. It's absurd to think that it is the case. We're growing at about 2.5%. The unemployment rate is 5.7%. Inflation's nice and low. And we're looking at the forward indicators for things like housing. It's clearly on something of an upswing. And, of course, with the lower dollar, we're getting an export boost. So, look, the low interest rates are there because inflation is very low, because we're part of a global economy where inflation is low and decelerating. So that's given the Reserve Bank scope to move interest rates lower. The difference now between now and back in 2009, when we did have an emergency, is that fiscal policy is now being tightened quite aggressively, whereas at the time we had a very, very aggressive stimulus measure which moved fiscal policy to a very accommodative phase.
So was yesterday's rate cut necessary?
Oh, yes, it was necessary because we had the inflation numbers just a couple of weeks ago that confirmed inflation was in the bottom part of the RBA target range. We do know that the unemployment rate is drifting a little bit higher, and I think we just need that final little bit of an impetus to make sure that the recovery that seems to be underway gets some traction and that when we get to 2014, the economy is back at trend.
So, Henry, I guess, what's your sense of the state of the economy? Would you describe these as emergency-level interest rates?
Well, they're certainly very low interest rates. I think the important fact is that despite recovery in the US, the international outlook is highly uncertain, with uncertainty about China, and where the best that one can say for Europe is that perhaps it's bottoming out, and that together with increases in global supply means that we've had a reduction in commodity prices and a fall in the terms of trade, and that in turn is reflected in what seems to be the end of the investment phase of the resource boom. And as that plays itself out, domestic growth has slowed below the levels that it's capable of achieving and looks likely to remain below those levels for a little while, with unemployment rising. And so in that situation, it was obviously sensible for the Reserve Bank to try to stimulate the economy a bit through this interest rate cut.
Henry, I guess to try to understand the politics of this a little bit, are low interest rates a sign of good economic management, as the Shadow Treasurer Joe Hockey said in 2004, or of government mismanagement, as he's saying now?
Well, they can be, in a way, they can be both, right? You can have good interest, you can have low interest rates because you've gotten everything working properly. You have low inflation, growth is strong, but the economy has scope to continue to grow at those levels or grow even a bit more rapidly without inflation picking up. In that context, there's clearly scope for low interest rates. Equally, low interest rates can be a response to a situation where the economy is growing by significantly less than potential, and perhaps where growth rates are looking uncertain. And in that context, a move to lower growth rates and try to stimulate the economy through monetary policy can be an appropriate response to weaker economic performance.
So is the Coalition right when it says this low interest rate is because Labor has mismanaged the economy?
Well, I think this the current low interest rates reflect a growth outlook that is not as strong as it should be, and an important factor in that growth outlook is obviously the uncertainty about both fiscal policy and important areas of structural policy, which may be having the effect of both reducing the economy's potential growth rate and preventing it from achieving even that potential in the immediate.
Stephen Kokoulis, to what extent does the government need to take responsibility for the weakening economy?
Not a lot. I think the issue is when we look at why the economy has cooled off over the past 6 to 9 months, we've got an unexpected cooling in China where growth has slowed from above 8.5% to around about 7% on the latest forecast. And that's dragged the terms of trade down, as we saw in the government's update on Friday. So we've got this negative shock that's coming from our biggest trading partner and a fall in commodity prices. We've also got this scenario that I mentioned before, that global inflation is very low, and that translates into a more broadly based fall in commodity prices. So there's areas that are outside the control of the government. And in fact, one of the issues that we saw from the government is that it's allowing the automatic stabiliser in the budget to work, which has caused the budget deficit to be a little bit bigger in the current financial year, 13-14, and that's actually going to be providing a little bit of extra stimulus to the economy as well. So we've got fiscal policy moving to sort of a more neutral to slightly stimulatory stance. We certainly have monetary policy at very stimulatory levels, which will be definitely the groundwork for the economy to pick up over the course of the next 12 months.
Well, there was a significant blowout in the budget deficit, but in the current economic circumstances, Stephen Kokoulis, do you think it's responsible for either political leader to be promising a surplus anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, no, I don't think it is. On the issue of budget deficits and surpluses, I'm pretty agnostic about whether we should have surpluses and deficits. It depends on where the economy is. And at the time when the economy is below trend, when inflation's nice and low, unemployment is creeping up a little, it's entirely appropriate to have a small budget deficit. We've got to remember that this budget deficit as a share of GDP is under 2%. It's a very tiny level, a point that's been confirmed by the credit rating agencies affirming the AAA credit rating for Australia. So that's the important thing. If the economy is to return to trend or above, well, I would be the first one arguing that we should be moving rapidly to a balanced budget, if not a surplus. But that will require the economy to be stronger than it currently is.
Well, let's look at the Coalition's big spending promise today. To you, Henry Urquhart, 3 days ago, Mr Abbott said he would deliver company tax cuts, quote, when affordable. Today, he promised to deliver them in 2015. Is this $2.5 billion a year tax cut affordable and responsible?
Well, I believe it's ultimately affordable. What it really depends on is getting the fiscal policy settings right. And the problem is that over recent years, what we've seen and had is a government that has a deficit when times are good, has a deficit when times are extraordinarily good, and now has a deficit when it says times are not bad, but not as good as one would like. So it seems that under all circumstances, we are running a deficit. And clearly, were that to continue, then tax cuts would not be feasible. But if we can get the overall settings of fiscal policy right and return to a situation where we take fiscal rules seriously and try to achieve structural budget surpluses over successive cycles, then cutting the corporate tax rate makes very good sense, because as the Henry review emphasized, the company tax rates are relatively highly distorting, and they both reduce our growth potential and reduce Australian living standards in the long term.
You mentioned the former Treasury Secretary Ken Henry there. Yesterday he said that whoever wins on September the 7th will have to cut spending or raise taxes or both to deal with the deficit problem. And yet here we've got the Coalition with a big spending tax cut. Do you think that is a problem?
Well,
do you agree with Ken Henry?
Well, I mean, clearly the situation is that if we are to return to a sustainable fiscal position, then that will require some tough choices. And those tough choices have to be, in the first instance, choices about spending. The reality is that if you look at the period from 2007-08 to the present, revenues have risen very sharply. I mean, revenues have increased over that period by almost $80 billion. The problem, and this is the source of the deficit, the problem is that payments have increased by close to $130 billion.
And we've just
heard. So what you need to do is look at that and say, how much of that spending really does pass a sensible cost-benefit test? If you don't do that, you will never bring the fiscal situation under control.
And we've just heard both sides emphatically rule out an increase to the GST. Of course, that's expected during an election campaign. But Stephen Kukulis, from an economic point of view, should they be looking at increasing their goods and services tax rate?
Well, they need to do something on the revenue side, and I think Henry's just got an error there in the tax receipts actually have fallen by around about 2 to 2.5% of GDP. We've got a very, very low tax take at the moment from the government, which is causing the fiscal concerns that the spending to GDP ratios did increase, obviously, during the depths of the financial crisis, but have now sort of scaled back to roughly the average of the last 30 or 40 years, where the tax to GDP ratios are only in around about 21-22%, where as recently as 2003-04-05, they're about 24% of GDP. So there is a problem on the budget, or if there is a problem, I don't think there is one, but to the extent that we need to balance the budget over the cycle, it's got to be the revenue side that does it. And with an income tax cut sort of throwing away a couple of billion dollars a year, while, of course, we'd all love to have lower income and company tax rates, it is a desirable medium-term objective. But at the moment, when we've got perhaps a higher priority of balancing the budget, it seems to be perhaps the wrong time to be talking about it or implementing it.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about on the economy, but we'll have to wrap it there. Stephen Kukulis, Managing Director of the firm Market Economics, thanks very much for joining us. And Henry Ergas, Professor of Infrastructure Economics and Senior Economic Advisor at Deloitte Access Economics, thank you to you too.